Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Already in uniform, so he's ready to go. Hey, Rod, we're on. So pop that on your head. Sit down. We'll chat. What's happening? How you doing? We've already had a couple of A-Rod's buddies on today. Michael Young was on talking about how you what you meant to his early part of his career, and some other folks on. Kevin Burkhardt, who you work with and who started on Fan, coming through my show many, many years ago, and now we worked with you last year. So how's your hectic day going so far?
So far, so good, Mike. I slept in. I slept well. And the girls and my mother land in about an hour, so I'm excited.
All right, you've been doing the same thing every day for 22 years. Knowing this is the last day, can you kind of wrap your arms around that?
Not yet, Mike. It's been a surreal week. I mean, since Hal and I sat down and spoke, a lot's happened. There's been a lot of emotions. It's been a crazy week. But everything that I do is the last time that I'm going to do it in pinstripes. Jumping on the plane last night on the team charter, talking with some of our guys and realizing that's the last time I do a team flight. All of it is pretty surreal.
You know, even your last days in Boston were wild. The controversy about you being in the lineup and stuff like that. And then you played last night. You pinch hit the other night. How weird was it coming out of the dugout? First in the pitch hitting performance with the reaction and the fans making so much noise, booing and everything else that was going on and the craziness. What did it feel like, first of all, with the pitch inning appearance?
I'm glad I got in the game. I'm glad that we were able to win that game, and we scored 5 runs that inning and then 3 runs the next. And then obviously we won last night, which was a big win for us, and the guys have been playing hard here down the stretch. But I think the weirdest thing of the whole weekend was the chanting. That was
chanting to get in the game, and then they want to react. You know, they want to see you. Doesn't matter if they want to boo you or cheer you. They want to see you. They want to say that they got a chance to see you again. They felt disappointed that they weren't going to get a chance to see you.
Well, I wanted the same thing. I wanted to play in front of them, and look, they were booing me mercifully and loud, and I've never heard them boo me louder. But it was exciting to be a part of it. We have a long, rich history. If you look back at the last 100 years, but if you look back just starting in 2003 to about 2010, to me, that was probably the best brand of baseball that I've witnessed.
When you think about this, you know, you've had a week to kind of think about the end coming here. You've been here a long time. You know, people might not realize you played a lot of the games as a Yankee, more games as a Yankee than anywhere else. I mean, you've been here since 2004. You've been here a very long time.
A lot of young folks, a lot of our young fans don't remember that I played shortstop.
Right.
And that's pretty fascinating.
Young was talking about that today. He was talking about how good a shortstop you were and how really that you were the best defensive shortstop he'd ever seen and how good a shortstop he was. He was talking about that and how you made an impact on his career with your work ethic even late in that first season when he was there as a rookie.
I recognized early on when Mike walked into a clubhouse in Texas that he was a special person. And you need a special character and makeup to play, you know. People don't realize we play 200 games in about 232 days, and you need a certain amount of discipline and work ethic and passion for the game. And I think early on I recognized that he was going to be one of the special ones.
A couple of things that came up. First of all, this Jeter thing that got headlines. Clarify for me, because I don't understand it. Did you talk to Jeter, not talk to Jeter? What happened with Jeter?
Oh, yeah, no. About 3 days ago, he texted me a really nice text congratulating me and basically telling me to enjoy it. I texted him back probably 30 minutes later, and we're in good standing.
Okay, so we cleared that up. The other thing is there's already rumors out, MLB Network, a couple of the places saying teams are already contacting you. How are you going to handle that? I know you want to get through tonight, but how are you going to handle that? It sounds like there's going to be teams. There's already rumors. There's been 2 teams. First of all, have teams contacted you?
No, and you know, Mike, after this is over, I've talked about all week about Friday being the horizon of the week and kind of just focusing in and zeroing in, and you know, trying to play and play well and try to help us win a game today. And we have a good, a very good pitcher on the mound, Chris Archer, who's given me a hard time in the past. And, you know, after this is over, I'm going to go back home to Miami. I'm going to take my mother and my daughters home, and I'm probably going to take a nap for about a week.
Would you – now, a lot of guys retire and unretire in every sport. We see boxers that – we've seen a million guys do it. Can you say definitively – this is it, or is there a chance that you would play after tonight, or is it something that you don't even want to think about yet?
First of all, I've never liked the word retirement, especially at 41. I mean, I'm ancient in baseball, but I'm a pretty young guy in the real world, and the word retirement just makes me feel old. You know, Mike, my intention here was to finish the season strong. I've proven that with great rest comes good results for me. After serving the suspension, came back last year and played well and drove the ball. And I kind of had that envision for next year. Obviously, that wasn't in the cards. So once Hal and I sat down on Wednesday, I started to start really thinking about this very quickly. And here we are today.
So thank you. Is the idea that you'll deal with things as they approach themselves later on? Or, I mean, never say never. How are you going to deal with it? Not think about it right now and then wait and see? Because it sounds like other teams are getting ready to contact you.
Look, I mean, first of all, wearing this uniform for people don't realize for 13 seasons.
That's a long time.
That's a long time. And for me, I take an enormous amount of pride to play 22 years for three teams. And the major part of that is as a Yankee. And that's I treasure that. And for me, the pinstripes at the moment is enough.
I know you said with Susan this week that, you know, I made some mistakes. I didn't handle things right. I'm not going to sit here and recast everything. Let's take the very good and the very bad. If I say what's the most thing you're proudest of in all the years of this brilliant career, what are you most proud of in this career? Right, when you look at it, that whole 20 plus years, all the accomplishments, what is it that you're most proud of in this career?
I mean, I think just playing so long. I mean, the fact that I look back and sit and think about 22 years and over so many games, I think that's probably the thing I'm most proud of. I mean, because it's something that's pretty rare. And I got to be honest with you, Mike, if I had to do it again, I don't know if I can play 22 years again. It's a tall mountain. And obviously that comes with, you know, the great love for the game and work ethic and working at it. But, you know, I also have some incredible relationships that I've built. I mean, if I think about someone who's a father figure to me, like Lou Piniella, he was a great teacher of mine, and I've often said that I wish I had an extra 5 years under his tutelage because I think it would have done me a lot of good.
Is there one category? Is there one? Is it the MVPs? Is it the home runs? Is it the, you know, enormous overall numbers? I mean, is there one thing you point to and say this means a lot to me? I mean, is there one thing that you can look at and say this means a lot to me?
I think that's. And the easiest question you're going to ask me out there, I think obviously 2009, to be able to do that here in New York in front of the greatest fans in the world and bring the championship back where it belongs here in New York. And then the last 2 years and my relationships with the commissioner's office and Hal Steinbrenner and the Yankee organization overall, the last 2 years is probably what I'm most proud of because it was probably my hardest challenge ever to be able to kind of dig out of the hole that I created for myself.
When we go back over the last couple of years, we're talking with A-Rod, of course, on this, the day he leaves. When we do that, and we look back, and you talked about, I fall down, but I get up. When you came back after the suspension, what was it that you wanted to accomplish? What is it that you felt you needed to accomplish?
Number one, I wanted to come back and be productive on the field. I felt like the Yankees hadn't been to the postseason in several years. I felt we belong in the playoffs every year. That's what our fans expect, and I wanted to be a part of that. And that was one. And then number two, I realized while I was gone the impact of my actions and how they impact other people. And I wanted to make sure that I left the game with my head high and proud of not just the numbers, but my behavior.
Talking with A-Rod, I got some more questions for A-Rod, but first, Robinson Cano's on the line. Robinson, welcome. How are you?
Good. How you doing? Dime mi hermano.
Hey, Robbie.
So, Robinson, nice of you to call in today on A-Rod's last day. What would you like to add to the program? What do you want to tell the fans?
Well, Well, I tell a fan that I play one of the best players that I ever played the game. The guy that works really hard, the guy that that really teach me and took me under his wing. And you know, I remember when I first came on, I didn't like to lift weight after the game, and he was like, "Robbie, let's go." I was like, "Ah," but then I realized, and he told me one day, "You know what? You could be one of the best in this game, but you had to prepare yourself to play 180 games, 162, and then try that day." And also, never had 100 RBIs before. And then he took me to the backfield in spin training. I remember that with Kevin Long. He was like, "Let's go and work." And we went back there, worked situation, we managed scoring position. And then, you know, I mean, those are kind of things that, you know, you say that if it wasn't for him, it's going to maybe took me longer. I would never done it before. And then, I mean, you know, people don't realize how a great human being he is. Being with him every day in the same clubhouse and be able to, you know, talk to him, see how hard he worked. I mean, that's something that I always look up to him and say, and I want to say here, you know, thank you again for everything that you've done for me.
A-Rod, what did you see in a young Cano?
I mean, his talent just jumps off the page, and obviously an infectious smile, someone who I believe is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I knew he had it in him. I mean, much like Michael Young, when someone special walks in your clubhouse, you realize not only that he's a championship player, but he has an opportunity to be a historic player. And the ability to play both sides of the ball and be an eight defender and a seven hitter and a guy that can hit 300, hit in the middle of the lineup, a guy that's incredibly durable. You know, one of the things people don't realize about Robbie is how strong and how big he is. And he's probably, along with Ken Griffey Jr., probably the most flexible guy that I've played with. And that creates a great amount of range of motion in his swing, and that's why he's able to hit the ball all over the park. But I remember, Robbie, I don't know if you remember, we were, I think it was before Game 6 in 2009, I called you or I texted you around 1 o'clock, and we came in late from Philly, and I said, "Hey, early work with Mick Keller at 2:30. And you text back and said, "Are you crazy?" You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Hey, Robbie, do you still do all the work that you used to do here, or do you need someone to push you out there or without having A-Rod out there? Do you still get up and do all the work?
No, man, I still doing it. And, you know, every time I see him, you know, this game is like he says. I mean, you have to have the love and the passion for this game and see him, you know, the way he's still prepared, the way he looks, you know. I mean, you know, a lot of guys, you know, they know they put a good number. They say, "Okay, I'm good. I want to go home." But he's a guy that he loves this game. He always ready and he always prepared himself. And, I mean, I always remember that. And then I just pass along to young kids here in Seattle. I mean, you know, a lot of people ask me, "Oh, how's Era?" I mean, you don't want to know. I mean, if you be around that guy, you will know how great is baseball. Because when you work hard, all you can see is good results.
We're talking with Robinson Cano. Well, listen, thanks for calling in today, Robbie. Very nice of you. Thanks. I know it means a lot to A-Rod, so thanks very much.
All right, thank you. You welcome anytime. Vale, ya tú sabes, hermano.
Ya tú sabes, hermano. Un abrazo.
You know, that's Robinson Cano, of course, and that's been talked about a lot with you is the impact you had on a lot of these young guys, Melky, Cano. How about this, you know, this idea of you being this guy who just not only likes to work with young players, just likes the idea of the nuts and bolts of baseball, just all the hard work on the fields, all the other stuff, all the stuff that fans don't see about the game.
I think that's what I'm going to miss the most, Mike, is you know, everyone talks about 7 to 10, and of course the game is amazing, but all the work and preparation that goes into it, that's probably what I'm going to miss the most, is going back in the backfields and George Steinbrenner and taking a couple of the youngsters and talk about the game, right? Because our scouting department is their job to, you know, draft great players. And as veterans and mentors, is our job to help them mature. And, you know, Hal Steinbrenner wants a great ROI on all his investments, and is our job as leaders up here to not only teach him how to play Major League Baseball, but winning Yankee baseball. And there's an enormous difference between the two.
You know, Nate Silver, when he's not put these charts on the election, put out a chart on your career as a Yankee. rate on a return on investment, and he's a stat geek if people don't know what he does. He does stats on everything, and said the Yankees made a very good investment. He said they made $109 million profit on you as a business, which is not a bad deal on your salary. So, you know, you might ask for a raise. You know, it sounds like, because he put it at $109 million over the length of your contract, which is not bad.
Well, if you want to be my agent, Mike, in my next profession, we can start talking.
You've got good enough agents. You don't need me. You've made plenty of money. We're talking with Alex. I thought that was interesting. It was very interesting. You can see it at that 538 if you want to look it up. Nate Silver does all these sports and political computations and statistics, but it was an interesting one he did on A-Rod this week. And obviously, coming up to the last game this week, you wanted to play the field tonight. Does it bother you that? I mean, does it hurt not to be in the field? Joe said maybe. He didn't say for sure no. Were you capable of playing in the field? I mean, is it something you thought you could do? Was it something that was iffy? What was your thoughts about wanting to play the field tonight?
Well, I think if the ball is hit right at me, I can catch it and throw it. You know, I went into Joe's office, and he told me the plan in Boston, and I said, well, I'm already in here. Why not just throw a Hail Mary out there and see if he would let me play third base for my last game? I think is something that would have been cool to share with our fans. But at the end of the day, I'm in the lineup today, and I'm thrilled about that.
What do you say to these fans over 12 years? You know, you've had a lot of highs. You've had some lows. You've had plenty of highs. You've had a lot of moments here with this team. What do you say to these fans who not only will fill the building, but the ones who are watching and listening?
Well, first of all, I mean, that's what today is all about for me, is to get an opportunity to thank them through the ups and downs. Like I said in my presser on Sunday, you know, I'm a guy that's going to be remembered for obviously the love of the game, but more importantly for some of my great mistakes, and a guy that tripped and fell a lot and kept getting up. And I think that's an important lesson for me. And just tonight is going to be a very emotional night for me, Mike. But to me, I feel like I'm the luckiest guy in the world to be able to wear these pinstripes since 2004 in the greatest city in the world, in the grandest stage. Things we take for granted, I haven't.
You know, you're a smart baseball guy. You love baseball. You like the history of baseball. You're part of the history of baseball. You're also part of an era where there's a lot of players who are in the same boat you were, where they had issues with performance-enhancing drugs, a lot of them, and they're on the outside looking in with the Hall of Fame, but they have Hall of Fame accomplishments. You're right at the top. You have accomplishments at the level of Aaron, Ruth, Bonds is in the same boat, Manny Ramirez. We can go down the line. Can you place all these contemporaries of yours and yourself in history for the fans? Can you in some way tell them what you think about what was performed and what happened during this era?
I certainly can, Mike. I mean, the one thing is I can just speak about myself and some of the great mistakes that I've made. And, you know, I think those have been well documented.
Would you have been the same player, do you think, if you had not done anything that whatever you did do, that would you have been the same player in your mind? That's the question I get asked the most, and
yeah,
I don't know how to answer it.
So you're
the only one who
can
answer it, I think, or I can't answer it. Maybe you can't answer it. I don't know if you can. I don't know how to answer it.
I don't know how to answer that. I just know that, you know, the most frustrating part, I did an interview last week, and, you know, arguably my best 2 years came as a 19-year-old, you know, skinny shortstop and as a 40-year-old man last year. And that kind of arc makes it even more frustrating, my stupid decisions.
When you think about this place as a stage, you've been at the top here. You've been performing almost like a high wire act for 12 years. I mean, you're always in the news. You're always in the, you live that life every day. It's got to be hard to climb off that stage. I mean, for a day, you've lived on everything. Every move you've made has been chronicled every day. People care about everything you do. Now you're going into a different phase of your life. Have you thought about that at all?
I have for quite some time.
And will you miss it? Will you miss the stage?
I will miss it. I will miss it. But I also need a nap. it's been a long run, and a great run, and it's been exciting. I'm one of the luckiest human beings to be able to play this game, to wear this uniform. Everywhere I go, all over the place, fans are incredibly respectful. They're nice. You know, they want pictures and autographs. We really are incredibly lucky. There's about 750 of us, and it's a small fraternity. And for all the players that are out there listening, I mean, just really enjoy every moment because this is truly a gift.
We're talking with Alex Rodriguez as we get ready tonight for his last game here at the stadium. It's got to be, for someone as competitive as you, and anyone who's as good as you are is competitive, to leave with 696, I don't know if I could do it. I don't think I could do it. I mean, I know that you know, in my life I've lived and what are my accomplishments and goals, I don't know if I could walk away from that. I don't think I could. That's not easy to do. It must be hard. I mean, it's got to be tough. You're four home runs from 700 home runs. It's got to be tough.
There's no question, Mike. It is difficult, and I never thought about that. If you asked me, you know, 10 days ago, I that wasn't an option. Of course, I thought that I would hit 700 and go on to do, you know, better things for our franchise. But, again, that wasn't in the cards. It's frustrating. It's disappointing that I didn't get that opportunity. But at the end of the day, it's time for the next generation to start playing good baseball.
What do you want to do? You have the whole world. First of all, you're young. You've done well with your finances. You have the whole world open to you. You've already done well in broadcasting. You have businesses. You have great things that are available to you. What is it you'd like to do with your life the rest of it? I mean, what's important to you now? What? Other than your family, which I understand, your kids, I understand that part. But what do you want to? What would you like to do with the? You have a lot of life left. What do you want to do with it?
Well, I think that's the number one thing. Is you know, Cynthia's going to be here tonight with the girls, and my mother's getting older. I want to go home and take time with my family. My girls are the most important things in my life, and I talked about maybe volunteering in the basketball coach at Ransom and their school in Miami. That would be amazing. I also want to spend time with the Boys and Girls Club and continue to give back. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here today. And at some point, I like to be a voice for the Hispanic community, and there's tremendous opportunity out there for our community to kind of take the next step in the business world.
You're a 16-year-old kid. Grew up without a father, right? I know that. I know it very well because I grew up without a father, okay, since I was 7 years old. So I know what that's about. You grew up poor, I grew up poor. So I understand that part of it. But your dreams, you had great athletic talent. How old were you when you first realized you had really special athletic talent?
I would say I thought the big leagues was a real opportunity probably my junior year in high school.
Now, you could have played football too because you were that good. Bobby Bowden said you were the best high school quarterback he ever saw. So you had that on top of it too. Why baseball first? What moved you to baseball versus, say, football? You used to wear Dan Marino. You had 13 for Dan Marino. What? Why not football?
A lot of people don't realize I stopped playing baseball when I was 12. And my mother called. You know, my mother had two jobs, and she called in one day and said, "I need to see you." And it was a 7 o'clock meeting with my mother, and I'm like, "Whoa, wait a minute! She's a waitress at night, so you're missing work. She must be very important." And basically, she, you know, I wanted to be the next Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. Of course, those rivalries were incredible. Celtics against Lakers, you remember those. And she brought out the roster of the NBA, and she said, "Count how many Dominican players are in this roster." And I spent 20 minutes on this thing going up and down, and there was none. And then she brought out an MLB roster. And, you know, after I got past, like, 50 or 60 Dominican players, I said, "Okay, Mom, I'll give baseball a second chance." And I started playing baseball again.
And you knew you were good. By 16, you knew you had a chance to be special. Knew you had a chance to be a major leaguer.
Once I started playing in the junior Olympic teams, where the collection of the best high school talent representing the United States, and my roommate were A.J. Hinch and Torrey Hunter, I realized, playing with all these great players, that I had a chance to actually make it to the major leagues. And then my goal was, man, if I can spend one day in the major leagues, I'll be the happiest guy in the world.
You know, I'm talking with A-Rod as he gets ready to go down. He's got a press conference today. You got a thing on the field. How many people do you have here today? You have fans here. You have friends here. You have family here. You got a whole bunch of people here.
People
today,
are right? Flying in from all over, not the country, from Dominican, from California, obviously a bunch of people from Miami, I'm probably going to have over 100 people in the
will
building.
Will you be nervous
so
in the box
So if they cheer,
tonight,
those are all my people.
They'll cheer. They'll be more than that cheering. And, you know, you're good about that. You know, you don't mind if, they, you know, everyone says, you know, it's amazing that it's part of who you are that people even today will debate whether the whole place will cheer for you or not. But, you know, you've gotten used to handling that, you know, and you really have. You've handled that well. But it's not easy always to handle that. You know, you don't want to be booing your own. No one wants that.
That's the worst feeling in the world. No one wants to get booed in the building. But you know what's great about New York fans is they bring out the best in you, and they're gonna hold you accountable. And from 2004 to today, that's what I really enjoy most about the fans. They push you like no other.
You know, I've been doing this for 30 years now. You and I always kidded about going out the same year. You're leaving before me, so I don't know. Maybe this will be my last show too, because you know we always kidded about going out the same month together. So you're leaving a year early on me. So we know that.
I'd like to be your agent. I mean, let me tell you something.
No. Neither of us needs an agent, thank God. But in 30 years, the most famous interview I'll have ever done was you storming into my studio unannounced, and people don't realize you just came. Okay, you gave me 10 minutes. I'm coming over, and I still hear about this every day. People say, how can you talk to A-Rod? He didn't tell you the truth. You know, that interview will be played forever, you and I in that interview. You know, that interview is like part, when they show my last show ever, it's going to be part of that interview. It's going to be you. You know, they're going to show my most famous moment was you and me in that interview when you were so mad that day.
Oh, my.
You know that?
You know what? I look back at that interview and it's so embarrassing. I just cringe every time I see that, and I quickly turn off the channel. That was a dark place for me.
People say, A-Rod owes you an apology. I said, he was talking to you. I'm the conduit. He doesn't owe me. A-Rod and I are fine, okay? You know, people, they take it so personal. They really, they you're part of their team. You're part of the. You come into their house every day. They want to love you. You do great things for their team, and they get personally affronted. You know that's. They take it as a personal affront. It's amazing how. Can you see now how emotional they are? It's really amazing. Haven't you found that out over the last couple of years? Just how emotional the people take this.
I mean, so emotional. I was driving in today, Mike, and there's you know several fans that always wait for me in a particular corner. They know my route. One is at the bridge. The other one's at the light, and they were both crying like little babies, and you know it's very emotional, and that's the greatest part of my career, being able to dress up in pinstripes and play in this stage, grandest stage in the world, for the greatest franchise in the world. And it's remarkable and it's humbling.
That kid who was in Miami dreaming about playing in the major leagues from a poor family with no father is sitting here tonight at Yankee Stadium in front of a sellout crowd, having had 2,000 hits, 2,000 RBIs, 2,000 runs scored, only three players in history who've done that, 696 home runs, MVPs, a million records. Can you get your hands around, forget the steroids for a minute, can you get your hands around the career you've had here for over 20 years and what you've accomplished on the baseball field? As you look at your last game, I mean, it is remarkable. Think about the career you've had here and what you've accomplished.
Not really, Michael. I you know, that's kind of who I am. Is my DNA is to think about what's today's mission. And today's mission is Chris Archer's on the mound, and we need a win. We're in a pennant race. We feel good about our young guys coming up. And I don't take too much time to look back. I'm sure at some point when I'm back home in Miami, I'll get a chance to reflect. But what I'm most thankful about is, you know, the great people that I've played with and the relationships that I've built over time. When you say the things you say about Michael Young or Robinson Cano, that's what I'm going to take away.
And also, you came back and mended a lot of fences. You went on Fox and did very well. You get along now with baseball. Commissioner likes you. You know, I don't think he likes me very much. He likes you. But the bottom line is you've mended a lot of those fences in 2 years. You came back and had a great year last year. That's got to be really meaningful, what you've been able to bridge in the last 2 years. I'm sure that, you know, you have done a really good job. You've taken the high road. If somebody gave you a hard time, you took it. You didn't fight back. You've taken everything. And I mean, even your worst critic would think that you've handled things very well in the last 2 years.
You know, for a long time, I was so focused on performance and just going out and doing well and helping the team win and being ultra-focused just on one thing, very singular. And I think over the last few years, while I was serving my suspension, I got a chance to press the pause button and rethink things. And it's a little bit of rewiring of the brain and really have a full understanding of how important the commissioner is and guys like Tony Petitti in the commissioner's office and Hal Steinbrenner and our management here and the relationship with my manager, Joe Girardi. And those things are equally as important as hitting the ball over the fence. And that's something that I'm going to take away, and I'm very, very grateful that I learned that on the way out.
You know, Babe Ruth, you know, everyone talks about those three home runs he hit, you know, when he couldn't hit anymore and he was washed up, you know. That's part of the lore. The Bambino hitting those three home runs for the Boston Braves, okay, hitting the ball out of Pittsburgh. Who knows if he really did or not, but they say he hit the ball out of Pittsburgh. Nobody saw it. But the bottom line is, you know, that's part of the lore of baseball. Do you have one of those nights in store for us this evening? Or
oh,
what?
Boy, I don't know. I'm terrible at predictions. Hey, listen, I put the ball in play three times last night. That was a good night for me. And the fact that I was able to drive in a run with a little swinging bunt, I was happy about that.
You know, you know what? That was a big run. Actually, it was a very big run in the game. You know that? It really was.
That was a tough at bat.
You had to be thinking Grand Slam, though, right? Yeah, and your mind, does Grand Slam come in? Can you focus? So do you focus so much on a Grand Slam? It comes into everybody else's mind. They put up a graphic, 25 Grand Slam is most of all time. Are you thinking, man, if I could put one in up with that monster right now, this place is going to go nuts?
I can't lie to you. I was definitely thinking about that. But then the situation on a 3-2 game in the eighth inning, you also say, I need to get at least one run in here to give a little cushion.
You know, the night
bullpen.
Before, you almost got it. Mm-hmm. That's like a fraction of an inch. You just missed on that outside. You just missed the three. That was an inch away from being a 3-1 homer.
I felt good off the bat. I just popped it up a little bit too much, but I've had a lot of fun here playing the last 2 days, and I'm glad that we're 2-0, and hopefully we can win another one today.
Are you really at peace? I mean, are you leaving and saying the right things, or are you really at peace about leaving now?
Michael, I don't think that's something you can fake. I am at peace. Looking back at all the years that I've played, the relationships, you know, we're going to have a full house here tonight. It's going to be so exciting. And again, I want to just make sure that I wish there was a way that I can shake each fan and thank them for the memories they've given me. And they've given me more than any man deserves. And for that, I'm very thankful.
Well, listen, you're welcome to come in the studio anytime. Okay. You can come on and analyze the playoffs. You can come on and talk about Miami football, although they're not any good anymore. Maybe you can get them back to where they used to be. But you can come on and talk about any sport you want to come back and analyze anytime. You can, as long as I'm sitting here, which is 15 more months, you know, now that you're leaving me high and dry, you can come back and anytime you want.
If we can talk hurricane football, I'd love to come to the studio and do some work.
I don't want to kill the Raiders, okay? I mean, let's be honest. Okay? I don't think you're going to be as big a drawer anymore. I'm sorry.
Know.
You know, those days are over. You know, a couple minutes, you know.
I'm done.
That's it. You're not a ratings magnet anymore. Thanks. Good luck.
Thanks, okay? Mike. Thanks. Appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.